Well, welcome back to semester two of Small Talk with the Campus Chronicle crew. I'm Bailey. I'm back again this semester. And then to my left, we've got...
Lauren. Sarah. I'm Sarah.
Yes, we've got Ben and Sarah with us today, along with Lauren with two N's. Lauren, if you will. Well, today we've got some interesting topics as far as apparently in Iowa Congress they've introduced a Bible bill. We're going to talk about the stories we've got coming up, and then we had a third one.
The start of the semester.
Our classes.
What's going well? What's not?
Oh, good. Let's start with you. How are your classes going this semester?
My classes are all right. I'm not a full time student this semester, so I'm not insanely overwhelmed. I have environmental science, which is my first science class since probably junior year of high school. And that's going pretty well. I have intro to mass media and intro to sociology. So I just, for linking with our other topic, I just profiled my sociology professor, who is a very interesting man, Gary Titchener, with a lot of different, a lot of things to share and a lot of different opinions. So it was really interesting to do that, and I look forward to writing his piece and seeing how that goes. This will be my first piece with the paper, too, so I think that'll be good.
I love me some Gary Titchener. Such an interesting guy.
He really is. And today his lecture was almost exactly like our interview. Like, he talked about a lot of the same things, but it was interesting because that's what I kind of wanted out of it too, was how sociology impacts his life on the regularly and stuff. So that's pretty much me.
What about you, Ben? What do you got? How's your semester?
I'm not a full-time student either. I have our government class, which is great. It's just an introduction, so there's not much to it. Show up every day.
Any other interesting news in your classes?
Right, what's your...
No, not that I can... I'm taking two introduction classes.
Yeah.
Is this your first semester at DMAC then?
It is, yeah. Awesome. I went to Cornell College last year.
Is this everyone's first college experience, or is it just second?
This would be my first, I guess, rather. Yeah.
Yeah. For what? Like, if you're transferred.
Is this the first college you ever gone to?
Oh, yeah.
Like, your first, yeah.
Yeah.
I came straight from high school.
Me too.
So
I'm used to a heavy workload.
Right.
And that's kind of why I decided not to jump all the way in.
Awesome.
Coming back to DMAC. I just thought, take it easy.
Where's this Cornell College at? Is that it?
No, really. It is the lesser.
Where is it at, though?
Cedar Rapids.
Isn't Cedar Rapids?
Just east of Cedar Rapids in Mount Vernon. Down about
1500. Was that where you're from then, Cedar Rapids, that area?
No, actually, I grew up in Des Moines. I went to the same school that you did for high school.
Roosevelt.
Lauren.
For all 4 years?
Yes, I did. All 4 years.
When did you graduate?
2014.
Oh, I graduated 2016, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah. So...
I thought you were 2015.
I'm 19. I'm a fourth semester of college. It really does.
Anyway, how was your semester going, Lauren?
It's all right. Taking three intro classes and then social psychology, sociology, which is intro to news production, and then intro to theater. All very different classes. Personalities of the professors are all big. And
in their own ways.
In complete opposite directions of each other.
Who do you have, or what were your other two classes besides intro to theater?
Sociology.
Social psychology and then intro to sociology.
Right.
So, and those are two different areas of, because one of them's psychology and the other one is sociology, under their listings as far as course number.
Right.
So it's the intro to sociology is teaching, why it's not psychology, and social psychology is teaching why it's not
sociology.
I'm reading the textbooks, and they're, contradicting each other because I'm taking both classes, so it's almost confusing, and it's, I really put myself in that position, but... just kind of,
I mean, it could
more.
Be helpful. Like, it could be confusing at first, but it could be helpful as far as, like, you know, you see both sides right in front of you at the same time, pretty much.
It definitely, like, I learned stuff in social psychology that when I'm in sociology class, I'm like, oh, I've already heard of that, or, oh, like, that reminds me of what I learned here, so, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm full-time, though.
Mm-hmm.
12 credits, so.
Yeah.
I'm at, like, 15.
Yeah.
I'm on 15 credits this semester.
Is everyone looking to just, like, finish an associate's degree kind of
thing?
Oh,
yeah.
I'm looking to transfer, for sure.
Right.
I'm not sure what for yet. I used to know, but I've changed my direction, like, twice now.
I think that's a strong point of DMAP, is that you kind of... All the people I've seen come here anyway, they start out with one thing in their mind and then kind of change
it. Yeah, and the credits are so transferable. It's like, and it's like cheap enough that like if you do change your direction midway through, like you'll still be good to go and like you can go in whatever direction you want.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. You're allowed to take your time.
Yeah. Are you interested in any other school yet?
Probably ISU, just because they have all my information already and I'm in their transfer program right now. But I've, like, I'm still enrolled to go there. And
because Cornell College.
What?
Really just throwing that and just really.
Because Cornell College. Not sponsored.
Yeah. this podcast was not sponsored.
Not
by
sponsored by Cornell College.
Or University.
Or ISU. Or DMAP, for that matter. But it kind of is. But...
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Basically, I was intending.
No, yeah, DMAC is great for transfers.
Oh,
yeah,
it really is.
Yes.
Ask anybody.
It's lovely. Well, we have a lot of transfer contracts. We just signed one recently with somewhere, I don't remember. I think it was University of Iowa, maybe, for our nursing program transfer. Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
There was a really big one that just came through for nursing students.
Yeah.
I said DMAC's nursing program is really like cutthroat. Anything medical wise should be kind of cutthroat, but like anything that we have here at DMAC is pretty intensive and it's not really competitive. It's just there's a lot of work to do and there's a lot of people that either drop out or get dropped because they're not doing well enough.
Yeah, I mean I saw
which is, I mean it's kind of good because I don't want somebody that got a C giving me a shot or being my nurse or anything, to be fair, but...
I mean, I don't know, especially with how cheap it is, too. Like, retaking classes is, like, a really good option as far as, like, if you do want to transfer, you don't want to just get your associates. And I actually saw on the website the other day, like, graduates, 98% of graduates are either, like, straight in their, like, line of work out of DMAC or they're, furthering their education at a bigger school.
Right.
98%
I think those are the most...
Which is insane.
Most
that's
common
like,
paths.
So it makes you really, like, trust in, like, the education that you're getting and, like, if you are taking out loans, even if it's... Because, like, all of my loans for this whole associates is probably, like, 1 year at a university, which is, like, just subsidized and unsubsidized.
Right.
So it's, like, I don't know. It's just... I think it's really smart. And then if you do good here, obviously, which... I think is a lot easier than starting out at a 4-year, doing your undergrad, you know, and then when you got classes in auditoriums, instead of you got DMAC where you can email your teacher and, you know, like,
you have a personal,
they care, you
right.
know, so.
It's easier to get in touch.
And I've heard that a lot of classes here are actually a lot easier as far as, like, they're easier because they're harder on you because DMAC's, like,
smaller
systems,
class size.
Yeah, so, like, it's a little more, like, tight with, like, things like that. And I've talked to people that go to ISU that have told me, like, there are a lot of classes at DMAC that are harder than ISU classes when you can just, like, turn in some assignments and never go to the lecture.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you do all the online work, you pass the class, like...
Right.
I feel like it's better if it's more engaging. And it is harder, but...
Well, and I think it's also easier in our respect just because you... We max out, like, 20 students here, I think. We've got friends at ISU that have, like 100 kids in some of their lectures. It's like, if you don't understand something, how are you ever going to get help with that? You've got to... You've got to really got to stick to those office hours with the professor rather than, like, showing up 10 minutes before class and be like, hey, I didn't understand this question. Like, it's more free-flowing, and they don't have as much on their... These professors don't have much on their plate because we max out at 20 students-ish...
Right.
Class. So you're not, or section rather,
so
you're
not
like,
available one.
Right. They don't have 200 kids, 100 kids to deal with each section of the class.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's insane.
Well, we got really off topic. I blame you.
We're swollen.
What was our other...
Bible Bill?
Let's touch on that one.
We were going to talk about our stories.
Getting heated. Right. So what have we got going on for... You said you already did your profile.
I haven't completed it. But yeah, I did the interview, and we talked a lot about spiritual stuff. About, like, or kind of connections. I need to go over all the material that I recorded, but it was a lot of, like... connections of spirituality and science, and talked about like a lot of free will. There's a whole lot of things. There's things about his life and stuff, because he was like homeless for a little while for a variety of reasons, and had a lot of like relationship issues and stuff. So I thought that also kind of added an interesting aspect. But yeah, I think that, and then I might also be still interviewing our librarian that has the 25-year anniversary.
Oh, right.
So, that is still to come. And then my opinion piece on Oprah for president.
Okay.
Which
interesting.
And my opposition piece.
Well, I'm not necessarily for it. But I was curious because you're a Democrat and...
I'm an independent.
Oh, you're an independent. Okay. Well,
Are you left of center? No, I'm an independent.
That's interesting because you brought up, when we were talking about the Bible Bill earlier, you brought up the fact that the small counties should decide.
Right, no, well, now that you brought it up, we'll have to talk about it. But no, I guess this, it...
I'm all for
everybody practicing the freedom of their religion or whatever. I think this is state-sponsored endorsement of a religion. I think that, in the article we were given and we read, it said that it is an important part of American history to kind of know about it. Which I can kind of agree to, but at the same time, in the same article it says, we don't have a law against it at this point. If I read it correctly, which I'm 85% sure I did, but we don't have a law against having an elective Bible literacy class.
Mm-hmm.
So leave it up to these small communities and these school boards. If they want to do it, they can. Like it has been.
Right.
These laws have been passed in places like Tennessee. I think Texas was one.
Kentucky,
One of the Carolinas.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kentucky's... No one even started on Kentucky.
Kentucky.
But, their governor's an idiot.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry, no. No, it's just... Leave it up to these small counties so they can decide for themselves, because that's not something that I realize that it establishes it, but at the same time, it doesn't make it right.
Yeah.
What's right for somebody in southeastern Iowa may not be right for somebody in northwestern Iowa.
Well, and I mean, if you're going to have a course like that, like, you could just... make it a literacy course on religious writing.
Well, that's my thing, too.
Because
I mean, like, if you want to focus on the Bible or something,
then where does that, like, stop, though? Because there's other people that have religious, like, types of, like, books and, like,
the Quran,
that they
the Torah.
Right.
And then, so then, where is their freedom to...
Well,
you
it
know,
just means...
Even if it's an elective, like, then I feel like you...
I mean, I think the point that the congressperson is trying to make is that those books aren't as influential to our history, but at the same time, they are. Because
the big three religions, they all share a common story, so...
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I mean, you have to also look at why that is, though. That, like, the Holy Bible is arguably one of the most influential religious writing, like, textual, than any other. Like, obviously, there's people that don't even know what the Torah is, or, like, any
right.
other
It's
type,
most widely
writing.
Known, but
right.
that
but
doesn't mean that you should
that's,
ignore
that's
that.
That's
right.
Like, historically, like, made like that. But, like, generations and generations of, like, when church and state were one, and, you know, when who took over who, and when people were immigrating and all of that, like, why the Bible was so, like, highly integrated into, like, our culture now makes it, that's the reason why it's one of the most popular, like, everybody's heard of it. It's like
everybody knows Jesus
way up there. So, you know, but there's a reason behind that is because of who ruled who and who said, you know, because there were people that were
all the developments throughout
doing
history
this and yeah. So,
well, and I just don't see the need for it as well. I mean,
I
can't speak for eighth grade classes now because I'm not a teacher
mm-hmm.
and I don't know anybody in the eighth grade. But when I was in the eighth grade in world studies, we learned about the Torah and the Quran
mm-hmm.
and the Bible. We touched
mm-hmm.
on all of them. We're like, these are the, like, in this region, these are the big three religions or whatever. This is, like, these are where these religions started. And we talked very briefly about all
right.
the holy books and their kind of their traditions.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, like,
mm-hmm.
their, yeah, like, their different
their place
styles.
History,
right,
I don't
right.
know, like, the Quran.
Yeah,
like,
it wasn't, like,
well, that's when I learned.
Interpretation of it, though.
Right, that's when I learned, like, the options and stuff. Right.
Well, yeah,
and
I feel like it just plays into the stereotype
yeah.
of, like, Iowa being, you know, like, you talk about, like, Tennessee, Texas, blah, 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 like, all the other states, and you just play into that thing of, like, Christianity is the only, is our center, our core, or whatever, like, in Iowa, because we're all white, we're all, I don't know, like, we're seeing,
well,
that plays
yeah,
into that stereotype,
yeah.
I feel
There's
like.
There's definitely, like, demographics and stuff that, honestly, Iowa has, like, more churches per block than like
or just
really
Midwestern
the
kind
Bible
of
the whole
value.
Bible that's why
it's
kind of Bible Belt.
It's also
like,
you can't put that weight on those teachers
exactly.
at the same point because
that's
what if they don't follow the same faith
exactly.
they don't follow the Christian
and
faith
then,
but at the same time it's something that should be educated at home
that's
is that
what
that's
I'm
something
saying.
That's kind of the way I was raised is that Your public schooling is kind of to teach you how to not die in everyday life and survive as an adult.
Get a job.
With the Pythagorean theorem.
Right. It's the viewers who, but then, like, you're at home, it's your parents' job to teach you about, well, in the Christian tradition, it's the mother's job to teach about faith, I guess, because she's at home or whatever. Anyway, but I was just kind of taught that it's an at-home topic for faith, as far as
that
faith
makes
goes.
Sense.
In the like, faith doesn't belong in the
yeah,
classroom.
Yeah, I agree with that, as far as, like, keeping it out of the school system, because of, like, the direct fact that, like, whoever's, like, creating the curriculum for this class, like, if it's the school board, or, like, whoever's coming up with these, like, lesson plans for this class, like, if it were to go through and be a thing, then it's, like, who's to say that their interpretation or their teaching, like, where are they getting their, like,
true.
Lesson plans from?
Right.
Like, where, like, if they're going to be
it's
studying
not math,
a
it's
teacher,
not science.
Right,
so.
Like, it's honestly, like, it's very subject to human opinion,
or
which is different.
It should
right.
be something that's
you're
just focused on in college,
the
where you
capacity.
Have a choice.
Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
You know what
have
I mean?
The capacity to internalize differently.
Exactly.
Well,
so then if we're learning from this class, a lot of people are going to be like, this is truth, because this teacher is telling me it is.
Right.
Which
might be
you're
more
isn't
about
even
sort
true.
Of information bias.
Yeah. And honestly, it's super subject to that, too, because
right.
then it's like, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
How
yeah.
are you going to
okay.
know if
the
that's the truth, or, like, if they're just saying that just because their lesson plan
okay.
says it, you know? And then it's like, then there's gonna you're going to have people mm-hmm. thinking all these different things.
Yeah.
And I know it's...
What, you're
you
touching
know.
On, like, the founders even. Not all of them, for example,
right.
as we learned in our class, not all of them could force themselves to internalize and project that on top
mm-hmm.
of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution
mm-hmm.
and the developing of our country. So that has a lot... I mean, versus Iran... If we lived in Iran and we lived under their Council of Guardians, these people have to interpret for the lawmakers. So they have to go through this
right,
religious channel to get to...
mm-hmm.
I know. It's
and,
it's a little ridiculous that we think that we can impose
well,
right now.
I'm
yeah.
very curious as far... Because literacy would indicate that it's literally kind of just...
Reading the Bible.
Right, right. It's like how to find your way around the Bible. And to me, that's not worthy of an entire class.
Well, that, and
because
it's
like any other book, there's a table of contents
I
in
mean,
those
like,
Bibles, and then you just flip to
just
that.
Just have a Bible study. Like,
right, well, like, there's a lot
if
of...
That's
right.
If that's what it's essentially going to
but
be,
I think,
and it's not going to include anything about history or anything other, like, any other religion, I don't know.
But I think
that
your interpretation is a good thing to bring up, because, I mean, we... I shouldn't say we, but as we learned in the 1500s, as Martin Luther taught, most brought this revolutionary idea that the Pope isn't the final authority on God. That
right.
The scripture is the final authority.
Exactly.
I think that's something else, because the Catholics have a completely different view of the Bible than as Lutherans do. They're pretty close, but they're different. And then you look at offshoots from the Lutherans, which would be the Methodists. And if you look at all the other...
denominations.
Right, all of the denominations. I was going to use... there's a different word. But, I mean, Baptists.
Right,
and Southern Baptists.
These denominations are not listed
Mennonites.
In Scripture. Like, when you're reading it, like... You're not going to read about, like, oh, there's the Lutherans and the Methodists.
It's just Catholic,
so
Protestants.
But why,
Protestants,
why is that then
you.
That there are different denominations? Because of human interpretation and because of the way that people choose to live their faith and, like, what they choose to do with what they're reading and what they're learning in their faith, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so that's why you have all those breakdowns of, like, separation and stuff. So you could argue all day that this one's better than this one, or this one's more wrong than this one, but then it's like, you know, the absolute truth is definitely personal. It's what, you know, it's...
Your own belief.
My hope is that they wouldn't dive into denominations if this
exactly.
Is passed.
So there's
they
all these
they
little
wouldn't
things
be able
that are
to,
like...
They would structure it well enough that it's not like that. I honestly hope so. Otherwise, they're going to have a really big Iowa Supreme Court case on
mm-hmm.
Because
do
that's...
Do we know any of the facts?
What do you mean?
Of the story?
I guess.
About the bill?
I'm not sure a ton about the bill. I'll have to look into it. I'm meeting with somebody that...
Yeah, these are just like a
more.
General, like, if this is going to be a thing and, like, what...
The
implications. My personal
right. The implications of the... It's. I mean,
yeah.
we look at other states that have already done this, which is it's really funny to me that they even have, because they're a lot of these places are all about community choice. They're like states' rights, and within the state, they're like these counties should be providing for themselves, stuff like that, and then they go and make these blanket laws like. We've established this for you.
Are they all electives in those countries, or are they like? Did they become required classes? Because I thought I heard about in one state it was a required. I don't know.
Not sure if they're required. That's actually something we should look into. Kentucky's is
different from.
I'll have to look into if Kentucky's even passed theirs, because I'm. I lived in Kentucky for a hot second, so I still follow a lot of their news.
Okay.
I was looking into that. That's actually yeah. No, so. Thanks, Ben, for getting us started on that one. 10 out of 10.
We can also talk about the Tide Pod Challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was not one of
I hope in my soul that this is not a thing people are trying.
Oh,
but
it is.
But if it is, like, if somebody's taking this seriously and is, please don't. Don't eat Tide
Pods. Public
but,
service announcement.
But from my opinion, it's just natural selection at this
obviously,
point.
Obviously, though...
If you have to be told not to eat laundry soap...
No, right, but that's the thing, is they know.
They're
true. Like, there are a lot of people that are absolutely aware of, like, this is not safe, this is really dumb, and it's honestly expensive, because those Tide Pods are, like, really
right.
expensive.
Right, your parents spend
and,
on those
exactly,
Tide Pods
and they're, like, $5 a pop, so... What I'm saying
$5
is,
a pod?
What I'm saying is...
A pod?
It's more of, like, social influence. And
right.
Like
it's more of, like,
the hype.
You're in eighth grade still?
Like,
yeah, sort of.
Or your mind is
like,
still,
they
like...
They know it's stupid, but if they can get this many retweets from doing it, they're going to do it. And that's
right.
Where you've got...
Ooh, viral media, then.
That's where you've got the maturity levels of, like...
Well, and just
I'm
the common
not
sense.
Use the word
like,
millennial, but, like, college students, and then... You got, like, the 2000
well,
babies.
This, yeah.
Who are...
Right. Honestly, the 2000
like,
babies
really
are...
Babies.
They're a whole other brain.
No, right. They're indirectly experiencing they're, someone else do it, and they're like, that can't
that's
be...
That's their environment,
that can't be
though.
That hard.
We weren't raised like... I was raised with a almost a payphone. There were
exactly.
payphones. Very
no, there
payphones.
Were payphones. There
but
were
I was
payphones.
Raised with a landline and
yes.
repeat, rewinded VHS orange cassette.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Dog.
Yes.
So, and Flutter.
The Rugrats.
So... Absolutely, the orange ones were the...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Goats. But
goats.
We're kind of like in between
you know
the generations,
I mean? So,
like 90s and thousands.
I think the millennials and the I think they're calling them the I generation.
That's
there's a big,
gross.
There's
a
lot. Big,
I'm not a millennial myself.
There's a
what
big,
year were you born?
1999. So I'm like a
well,
generation.
No,
no, I looked it up.
Well,
I'm like generation
I come on. I was born in 95. I come on that cut.
It's 97, I think, is the cutoff.
Because I'm 98.
It's 97. I was born in 99. It's 97 or 98. I always just kind of label millennials as if you were alive for the millennium change. So if you were born prior to 2000.
Right.
I was
exactly. Because
is what I would label it as. Because
I was there 5 months before.
My world is upside down
right.
from what
but,
was.
Yeah,
right.
Because I remember, you don't remember 9/11, do you?
No. I was two.
I do. So, I mean, it was young, granted, but.
When was
9/11?
That was
2001. September 11th, 2001.
You would have been in preschool.
I wasn't in preschool.
You were.
Really.
You're 1 year older than me,
in,
so I was about two.
I was in first grade or kindergarten. Me it was kindergarten or first grade, I think.
No, yeah, so I'm years behind you, but.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. No, but I think that you kind of look. What did our generation give the world? The cinnamon challenge.
Yeah, for a little while.
That was an idiotic move, but it.
There was like the salt and ice one.
Oh.
And I was in middle school, elementary school at the time, actually.
Mm.
That they were used. You put salt on your skin and an ice cube, and it'll burn holes in your skin. Never tried it.
I remember in elementary school, kids playing knuckles.
Oh my gosh!
Dragging their knuckles on the ground, basically.
All these
weird social phenomena.
We weren't that stupid.
could that be?
Yeah, and then school had like
they
their
didn't
own
even
little
have
ghost stories. No, those were like a 2000.
Well, yeah, and then Tide is probably freaking out.
No, John, no,
they're
Tide. We were
they're actually posting like official page. They're like, please
exactly.
do not eat
they have,
these.
Right, exactly.
Like,
they got a pretty famous guy to. I think he's
endorse.
A football player. They made a commercial,
see,
like, if
oh,
I'm just going, no.
If you have to, like, no.
Well, but then, see, like, there's, like, those crystal ones, too, like, the Downy. It's like, why are people, like, being like, I don't know, like,
because
why was it Tide Pods?
They've gotten a lot of
the
like,
Downy Unstoppables, like, why not those? Why is it only Tide Pods? Because
those ones are cool.
Well, you can crunch them, I don't know, like, the
oh,
kids
like
might think they're
Wheaties?
Candy. I don't know.
Like, what?
Some Wheaties, crunch.
That's no, it's not.
Berry cereal.
Oh gosh, I think that's something we always have to consider is the pressures of the viral media can portray
mm-hmm.
on put on somebody. But I think there's a line that is drawn at some points. Like, I would blame viral media for the Tide Pod challenge, yeah. But when it comes to somebody like Logan Paul, I wouldn't, because of all the steps you had to go through to publish that on the internet. Let's not get into Logan Paul right now, because
that's a whole other.
I'm not going to go into Logan Paul, but YouTube as a whole and, like, vloggers, like, that whole lifestyle, I feel like is just, it's just waiting to happen. I don't know, just, like, they just,
right.
you know, the challenges, the pranks, it's, like, it's, I feel like it's just waiting to happen all the time.
Right. I think,
they just get hyped off of this whole lifestyle that they're living, filming every single moment and trying to make it all great, so...
Honestly, yeah.
So I don't know. Like, they're funny sometimes, but I'm just like, I'm just waiting for something like the Logan Paul situation to pretty much happen. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then, because then they just get this whole idea in their head, like, they're rich, making all this money off of their lives, just their lives, trying to make them more interesting, so.
Pretty entrepreneur.
I mean, yeah, it's an entrepreneurship.
They make a lot of money from it.
They really do.
A lot of these people are, like, buying Teslas and stuff, and.
Well, that's
a lot of people that started
that's
small.
Much,
yeah,
no,
I mean, there's
like
such a thing
Teslas,
as being like
$1 million houses.
Well, and that's something also like until this generation, there's not many people making money off of social media. Like
no,
you think
and
people
and
like
Facebook
YouTube is my job,
right.
yeah, and Facebook.
Like YouTube is my like I don't have to work anywhere else because making videos every week is my job.
Yeah, it's like that becomes your job.
That'd be kind of
well.
Like
I think
super
YouTube is revolutionary.
Like,
I mean, when
video,
it right. when
like
it launched, there was nothing
week,
like
okay.
it.
Okay,
you know?
I'll record me brushing my teeth if that.
Dude, well,
that
what they do.
The
it's a firestorm
movie,
of
The Circle,
with Emma Watson.
Yeah, not sponsored.
The recent one. The Circle?
The one where she, like, films everything. And
yeah,
like,
she wears it. Yeah, I watched.
All right, well, we've had a significant journey. It's time to end it. We'll see you next time.
Bye.